Moncrief on News Talk.
Peaceful is the country that is strongly armed.
Baddingham family motto, circa 1972.
Lord Pop, Tony's father, made his millions in munitions during the war. That's why Tony married Lady Monica of the Glen. He had Daddy's cash, Mon had the house, and what Tony wants most of all, class.
Why are the English so obsessed with class? Money.
Declan!
I was only asking Mr. Cumberblack a question, though.
Rupert! You've met Declan, then. Anyone want another drink? Oh! You found one. Oh.
That was Rivals. It's streaming now on Disney+. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
This is not pretending to be anything other than what it is.
Yeah, and that is just like... Pims and penises is basically kind of what I think it comes down to. Like it is, so I've never read any Jillie Cooper books at all. I kind of have a vague sense of remembering them in the 90s of like red stiletto heels on the cover kind of thing. But she's a bit of a bodice ripper, creates that kind of like posh British Tories, but like all riding each other kind of vibes.
Yes. Oh, right? Yeah.
And that's exactly what we get here. So this is set in 1986 in the fictional county of Rutshire, in the Cotswolds. And like the whole thing is really daft, right? It's all about a number of rivals in a high-powered private like TV station that's set in the countryside, right? So like...
they always are.
Yeah, right? Like it seems like a rather incongruous thing to be happening. Right, so our main rivals are basically Alex Hassel plays Rupert Campbell Black. He is a caddish,
and even the names are stupid.
Yes, he is a caddish. I think he's an MP, is my understanding from it. Though his time in Westminster seems to be very short-lived, although he is repeatedly getting calls from Margaret Thatcher throughout the series, and he is our lovable rogue, shall we say? I think in a previous iteration of these Rutshire Chronicles, he won gold for Team GB at the Olympics in show jumping. Right? I mean, what else would he be doing? But now he's just playing naked tennis and bedding every woman in the neighbourhood and beyond. And his main rival is David Tennant, who plays Lord Tony Baddingham. Very apt.
Who needs character development when you just have a name?
And he is the head honcho of Corinium, this fictional TV channel. And in order to bolster, like... It's kind of poorly explained, but they're trying, you know, the series arc of the TV channel is that they're trying to, they keep saying like, re-get the franchise or something to do with the franchise without ever really kind of explaining what that is. But anyway, that's what they're trying to do. And in order to do that, to bolster the ranks, he basically gets Aidan Turner as Declan O'Hara, who is like a Terry Wogan stand-in, to join Corinium as a hard-hitting journalist who now is doing a bit of a Parkinson slash Wogan style chat show.
Yeah,
right. And with them come their various wives. You also have Victoria Smurfit as Maud, Declan's wife, and then his daughter Bella McLean. She is playing Taggy Agatha, who is dyslexic, and boy, do they let you know it, right?
Yeah.
And she is kind of the innocent babe in the woods who's come into the fray. Now, what I found kind of hilarious about this was they could only set this in the time that it was written, because if they were trying to make this show today, like, you know, the wokerati would be like all over them, right?
Yeah.
Because a big subplot involves 20-year-old Taggy falling for this, I don't know, 40, this MP anyway, Rupert Campbell Black, and him and his attempts to seduce her, which in contemporary time is like a bit, not sure if we like this anymore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what it is absolutely daft and camp and silly and a soap opera in the way that like, I imagine Dallas was, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is all about shoulder pads and big hair. Now, obviously, I guess Dallas was obviously set in Texas. This is set in the Cotswolds. So we're getting, like, British Vogue here rather than, you know, I don't know, Texas Monthly, I don't know, whatever, right? But like, all in, the fashion is all Sloan Ranger style, hunting parties. I believe Jillie Cooper based Rupert Campbell Black on Camilla Parker Bowles' Mr. Parker Bowles, whatever his name was, right? So, like, this is all just that kind of English set of of Tofspian.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and bonking each other. And yeah. Danny Dyer is in it. He plays Lord Who.
So he plays
he's
Freddie
the plumber.
He plays Freddie Jones, who is a like an electronics magnate done good from East London. Right.
Okay.
Now, and speaking of East London, it's kind of apt, right? So this was created for Disney by Dominic Treadwell Collins. I mean, he could be a character on the show. He was best known for writing on EastEnders and Family Affairs. So he has previous experience in soap operas, and this is just soap operas with writing, shall we say? Right?
Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
That. I mean, that is the big appeal of this is that they are, you know, there are multiple sex scenes in every single episode, and like they are silly and trash and nonsense. But I did find it fun despite that. Right?
Yeah.
Like this is not, this is never, this isn't trying to be anything beyond what it is, which is silly, camp. Daftness, and it does that bit extremely well.
Yeah,
it's kind of bizarre that it's found its home on Disney, right? Because like obviously it's on, I think in the US it'll be on Hulu, which is like their more, shall we say, quote unquote adult stream. We only get the one, so they have cross contaminated you know Pixar with basically this, right? And like this is not one you know you would want to necessarily sit down and watch with your parents in the room, because there isn't just, I mean, it opens, like it literally opens with with a mile high Mach 3 Concorde bunk scene in a toilet in a Concorde, right? And like, yeah, I just thought it was absolutely silly and camp. The production is nice. The one kind of quibble I'd have with it is I felt like the music supervisor, who is the person who picks all of the 80s songs that are playing in the background, basically just went to like Spotify's great, you know, greatest 80s soundtrack. There's no deep cuts of any kind. Like it's the most basic, simple stuff. But all in, if that's the biggest quibble I had, I can't really complain.
Yeah, that would have been the music they were listening to as
sure.
well, in fairness. It's a but it's a funny thing, because I'm sure her books have been adapted into films or TV shows before, and but probably closer to the publication of her books, when people would have generally regarded it as rubbish. and no, that's not a mistake. This is rubbish. No, it's all well-made rubbish.
Yeah.
But I find I'm half attracted to watching this now, just because it's such a relief from
sure.
the times we live in. That all seems relatively innocent.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, what you get here is, look, this isn't Succession, right? So, you know, this isn't that kind of meaty and hilarious kind of drama of people trying to get won over each other. But you do get good one-liners thrown by very good actors who understand exactly the tone that they're going for. I think this is really all about the tone of the show. Even the credits, like are from like from my vague knowledge of the Rutshire Chronicles, the wider Gilly Cooper universe, are, you know, aping all of those kinds of styles. So this is. Yeah, this is escapism, right?
Yeah.
It is like posh British escapism in the 80s. And you know what? I enjoyed escaping to it for a while.
Yeah. Right. Our next show is The Office. Just hold on for a moment before you start shouting. You can stream all of season one now on Amazon Prime Video. Here's a clip.
Welcome to Phil Snyke and Reptile Experience. Okay. Inside this garage are some of Australia's most dangerous animals.
Excuse me.
Yeah, mate.
Do you have funnel web spiders?
No.
Do you have box jellyfish?
Is the box jellyfish a reptile, mate?
No, but you said...
Lloyd, you're actually ruining it for Tina and I. We're just trying to have fun, aren't we?
Can't say. I've got Australia's most dangerous animals, and they're not actually have any of Australia's most dangerous animals. Do you have a taipan? No. Do you have a saltwater croc? No. Do you have a redback? No. Doesn't even have a cassowary.
Right, so it's a remake. How many remakes of The Office have been made?
Many, right? So obviously, you know, as English speakers, the ones we know are the original one, which is like over 20 years old at this point. Mm. The American one, which many people would say surpassed the English one, but it had 211 episodes versus the British one's 12. So, you know, it's quite a big difference, and you'd want to be doing something with all that screen time. And now we have an Australian version of it. So it's created by Jackie Van Beek. She's a Kiwi actress and performer. She's best known for a film called The Breaker Upperers, and she was in What We Do in the Shadows, the vampire, the movie, not the series. And she has adapted this for Amazon. And I guess the biggest question is, like, why now? right? Mm. So they have made big changes to it. The biggest one, I guess, is that instead of a male boss this time around, we have a female boss. It is still a two first names as a, you know, I always think Michael Scott and David Brent are two first names, and here we get Hannah Howard, right? She's played by Felicity Ward, who's an Australian stand-up, and other than that, not that much has changed, right? Like, it's still set in a kind of paper company. This time around, it's Australia's fourth biggest packaging company named Finlay Craddock. It's set in their New South Wales, like, office. And I kind of was a bit hopeful in the first episode, because in the first episode, it's all about how, you know, she as the kind of hapless boss who really just wants her colleagues to find her funny, essentially, right? She is offered by like a kind of regional manager or regional overseer the ability to close down the office and have everyone work from home, which is a kind of modern take on the office. And she sort of says she's so driven by the office banter and fun that she basically insists on everyone coming in. So the overarch of the series is that she's trying to convince the bigwigs to not shut down the office, while actually most of the staff would actually be quite happy working from home. Mm. But they sort of play with that in the first episode and then not really seriously after that. And like, there are, I guess, a few updates on contemporary workfare, you know, workplaces, but like, even those felt kind of dated. Like, in the first episode as well, there's also a running gag about a Zoom quiz. And like, you know, I think we all very happily left those behind in year one of the pandemic, let alone the subsequent years that followed, right? So like, at the same time, it follows the same beats you would expect from The Office, right? We have a Jim slash Tim character. He's played by Steen Roskopoulos, who's reasonably well known. He's an Australian comedian who has worked in the UK. He plays Nick in Sales. The object of his long-term flirtation is Greta, played by Shari Seabees, who was in The Sapphires with Chris O'Dowd a few years ago. And like, they have a will they, won't they, I wonder where it's going to go, right? Yeah. And like, the Dwight character is a woman this time as well. She's Lizzie, the receptionist this time. But like, the kind of problem is it doesn't differentiate itself enough from either the British or the American one. The American one had, you know, if you watch the first season of that, I think it is also only six episodes, it follows almost identically to the UK one. And it's only when it gets into its second, third, fourth season that it really kind of picks up and distinguishes itself. And I mean, let's not deny that it is a huge ratings getter on, ratings isn't right, but like, it's a huge streaming show even to this day on any network that has it. So I'm not quite sure why Amazon thought, yeah, we're going to pile like millions into making an Australian version of this to send to over 200 territories without making it that Australian either, right? Like, that's the kind of one ace they have in the hole. Admittedly, the clip we heard there is a bit Australiana, and that's probably the best episode, but the rest is just very sanitized. It doesn't feel particularly Australian. And I went the whole time when I was watching it, I was going, like, Fisk does this better. You know, Fisk on Netflix, about the law, that's a much better version of the show. And I was delighted to see series three of that debuted on Australian TV last night. So I'm hoping that it'll eventually come to Netflix here, right? But like, all in, I just don't get why we're getting this. And that's, you know, and it's not that it's bad, but it's not, it doesn't make a case for itself either.
Yeah. Well, maybe like the American Office, maybe there'll be one season of this and and they'll go off in their own direction. Right, our third show is Good Boy. You can stream all of season one now on the RTE player. Here's a clip.
What do you want?
I think I have ADHD.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
Oh, see, I knew this would happen.
Oh, no, please. Please, not him.
Ahoy!
Christ!
Yeah, I be feeling like I don't know, like, I just lost me North Star at the moment, and like, my flatmates are worried I can't take home any, you know, what's the other word for treasure? Like, I can never remember what time I'm supposed to be pillaging at, and like,
I will refer you.
What is the other word for treasure? See, I'm always forgetting things.
Enough.
Hang on, wait. No, you said refer? Yeah, you will.
With the express understanding that this is a long process, it requires a huge amount of patience, and there's no guarantee that you will get the answers that you're looking for. And even if you do, it might not change your life the way that you hope it will, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, ma'am.
Don't call me ma'am.
Thanks, mammy.
Don't call me ma'am.
Right, okay, that's a good boy. How did this come to be, this show?
So this is a co-creation between Tony Cantwell, who I guess is someone for whom the pandemic was a great thing. He's a part of this generation of forward-facing camera comedians who gained a newfound audience when they probably couldn't get on a stage because all the stages were closed, right? And he co-wrote this and developed it with Hannah Mamalis, who's also an Irish comedian, who's made a number of short films that have won at various festivals as well. And he is Good Boy, right? So, like, I think, like, the character name, right? So it's a little Fleabag-y in that regard, right?
Okay.
I felt like that they were aping a little bit between Fleabag, because, which is obviously a show about a woman and her interactions with people while dealing with kind of depression, shall we say. Whereas this is about a guy dealing with a potential ADHD diagnosis. And I just don't know if the dramatic stakes kind of balance out in those two comparisons. I also felt it had a slight nod to, like, Edgar Wright's Spaced, a Channel 4 sitcom from 25 years ago, which is, like, absolutely brilliant in its kind of mad antics and editing style. Ultimately, I liked more of this than I didn't like. My biggest problem with it is it's a slight thing, right? So it's made by The Lab, which is the RTE Player kind of in-house production studio. And they have made a number of these little kind of native content things that live on the RTE Player, and they're all short. Like, this is only 4 episodes long. I think the longest episode runs to maybe 22 minutes, but they're like around 16 to 20 minutes each. So they're brief, right?
Okay.
And the problem with a comedy, as far as I always see it, is you actually need to get to know the characters before you can kind of really find them funny. Like, in a sitcom situation, familiarity doesn't necessarily breed contempt, because you have an appreciation for who they are and the comedic beats that they're finding. Whereas here, it's just it's a bit brief, right? It's absolutely at its best when it's working as a romantic comedy, actually, of all things. So there's a whole subplot involving Good Boy meeting Rebecca in a supermarket. She's played by Marty Breen, and they are kind of meet cute and dates. They're the funniest parts in the show. The weakest parts for me, kind of bizarrely, because the show is about Good Boy struggling to find a job, going viral with a video, and turning this into a potential career. That's kind of the weakest part for me, as in I didn't find the videos particularly funny.
Oh, gosh.
the interaction with Peter McGann's kind of Joe Rogan-esque Joe Kane subplot, I didn't find great. But the bits that worked really worked on me, and I kind of would like to see more of it. But I don't want to see it on the RTE Player. I want to see them, like, take the risk and actually put it on the TV.
Yeah. Now, Tony Cantwell's, or Cantrell's...
Cantwell, sorry.
Yeah. Character is called Good Boy. He doesn't have a real name.
He doesn't have a real name.
Is that a bit weird?
Well, it's is and it isn't, right? Like, I mean, it works in the context of the show, because actually you'd be surprised how often you don't need to mention someone's name, right?
No, that's true.
And
they
turn it into a, like, they, you know, they in terms of the credits, they use it as, like, a, you know, a beat point for a joke where they're revealing the name of the show. And I will actually give it credit for kind of just being a bit, being a lot more stylish than something you would expect a native RTE sitcom on the RTE Player to be.
Okay, all right.
There's a really good use of Riverdance and the closing credits of episode 1 that I want to see more of. That's what I want to see from it.
Right, so those 3 shows were Rivals, streaming now on Disney Plus, The Office, you can stream all of season 1 on Amazon Prime Video, and Good Boy, you can stream all of season 1 now on the RTE Player. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.